You're listening to Jumping the Wealth Curve with your host, Edward Bau.
For most of my life, I've been riding and racing dirt bike motorcycles, so it was natural to say jumping the wealth curve.
When he's not on his bike, Ed is helping families retire successfully as a certified financial planner and five-star wealth manager at Smallwood Wealth Management.
There isn't a one-size-fits-all solution for everything, so we're talking about finances and a financial plan. We need to stay flexible.
Now, here's your host, Ed Bau.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Jumping the Wealth Curve. I really appreciate you tuning in. Today's topic, making market volatility your friend. I bet you never heard that one before. So if you've been listening to me, watching me, you've heard the term financial pressures. And if you really want to get into it, go to my website, go to the About page and the second video down. There's a 3-minute doodle about the potential financial pressures you may encounter in your life. Now, financial pressures represents like negative term, but not always a negative term. There's good pressure and bad pressure. And one reason why I say that is, since our discussion today is how do I make market volatility my friend, within market volatility, if markets are up, that's a good pressure, right? Wealth is growing. When it's down, it's a bad pressure. So the point I'm making is, not all pressure is bad. So in this case, market volatility, never a fun thing, but you know, I've been talking about my 2024 theme has been all about the core, right? Getting back to my grassroots here. And a lot of it has gone, it usually starts with our protection component, which basically we may have talked a little bit about life insurance and disability insurance, estate planning. That's all part of, you know, future income is all part of that protection component. And I don't want to give people a bad idea that I don't like investments. I love investments. I love everything about the plan. It's just one component of the plan, though. So today I wanted to dedicate to the investment side and this whole market volatility, making your friend concept, because in reality, you have to become friendly with market volatility because it's going to be there, whether you like it or not. And I'm going to do a little something different. I'm going to share my screen and I want to give you a little visual. For the people that are listening to the podcast, I'm going to describe what's on the screen. I brought up a chart from JP Morgan. The chart is the annual returns and intra-year declines of the S&P 500. And the chart on the left side of the axis is percentage, positive and negative percentage. And the bottom axis is the time frame. Starts at 1980, goes all the way out to 2023. And the stats on this annual return and intra-year declines are that despite the average intra-year drops, on average is over 14% per year. That's the average. The annual returns were still positive in 33 of the 44 years. So what does that mean? It means in any given year, the market will creep its way into negative territory, but it finished positive at 33 out of the 44 years. This is why you probably have heard, stay the course, do this, do that, because market volatility is scary, people. I mean, I can get into some examples, but basically the chart shows this. I'll use, it looks like 2020 was a good year. That's an interesting COVID year. At one point, the market was down 34%. I pretty much know the time frame was the end of March, but we ended up positive on the year, up 16%. So again, making market volatility your friend is easier said than done, because there are times that our conviction is going to be tested, and pretty dramatically. And depending on what part of accumulation or distribution phase you are in your life will depend on how tolerant you can be. And that's why measuring out risk tolerance, we have a phenomenal tool here at Smallwood Wealth that we actually give you a score from 0 to 100 to categorize your risk. It's been a game-changing tool. I love it. My clients love it. It makes it really simple. It's not just kind of these standardized questions you see on an application on your risk tolerance. So getting the risk tolerance right so you can stay the course is really important. But here's a perfect example of it's easier said than done. You know, I'm going to pick out that big outlier year, 2008. The S&P 500 was down negative 49% at one point during the year. It actually finished only down 38%, only, okay? But think about this for a second. You're a retiree. You've got $1 million that you're using for income. And at some point, you're looking at it, and you're down almost $500,000. Are you not scared out of your mind? Absolutely, because there's no do-over in retirement, right? By the way, this got worse. I'm going to make this even worse. In 2009, because we know the data now, from January 1st to March 9th, it was down another 25%. So if you weren't nervous at the end of 2008 or during 2008, you're certainly nervous going to 2009. Like, what is happening? Is the banking industry just going away? But what the data shows now is we had a 51% retracement, positive return on that low period of March 9th. That was the bottom. And then it was a 51% return on the way back up. So yeah, really easy to, you know, make market volatility your friend. But how do I do that is really the question. So I want to get one concept in before I get to some really nice, I think the visual that I think will have the most impact. And it's this concept that we like to talk about is money and math. Money and math are not the same thing. And I'm going to walk you through this really quick. If you're listening to this, or even if you're watching it, if you want to pull out a piece of paper and write this down, it's a great little exercise. So when I talk about money and math, I'm going to give you an example that you came to me with $100,000 to invest. And we allocated it to the markets. And I am the best advisor you have ever had, because in my first year, I'm up 100% on your return. We made $100,000 turn into $200,000. You can't send me enough people, because I'm your favorite person. You're talking about me at cocktail parties. I love it. Well, year two, we started January 1st at $200,000, and I wasn't that good that year. I was down 50%. It pains me even to say this, people, all right? But it happens, all right? It happens. There's market volatility. Well, your 200 turned back into 100, okay? So what does that actually mean? Well, if you're in the financial world, and we take those return metrics of up 100 the first year, minus 50 the second year, that tells me that I have a positive return. It's still positive 50, but we have to divide it by 2 because we did this over a 2-year sample. So that gets you to an average return of 25%. Okay, what does that mean? That means if you had $100,000 and you averaged 25% a year, the first year you'd be up to 125. That's easy math for me. The second year you'd have another 25% return because your average 25%. You would be at 156,000 approximately, right? Did that actually happen? I don't think so. I think when we looked at the math, if you're watching, you see it. If you're listening, we went from 100 in beginning of year one, and we ended up at 100 at the end of year two. So my actual rate of return is 0. Money and math are not the same thing. This is why we did a webinar. If you haven't seen it, listen to it. It was, is your spreadsheet driving you off the retirement cliff? Okay. This is one of the concepts, because when we start using average rates of return, it really is dangerous. And I'm going to give you a perfect example of that. So this is why we have to make market volatility our friend. Okay. So with that, if you're new to the podcast and you're watching or listening, I'm showing My Wealth Curve software, which is a software that John and I have built, and it's a planning software. But what we really like to use it for is it's a laboratory. We talk about financial pressures, which are basically variables. We know there's some variables that we can potentially control, and there's going to be others that we can't. Taxes, inflation, it is going to be, that's set by other forces, right? So the curve is really good at, we can make adjustments really quick and just test hypothesis and just put it through the rigor. So what I did here was to kind of show you this average versus actual and how it can be detrimental in retirement. all I did was I really made this a simple curve. I just said you have $100,000 in non-retirement account that you're using for retirement income. There's no income. You are retired. I am going to tax any gains in that account along the way. And you came to me with this account and said, Ed, what can I retire on? And normally, I would never say in this current environment, in the last 10, 15 years, the distribution rate is about 4%. But because, again, I'm the advisor you're talking about in cocktail hours, all right, I know that the time frame that we're talking about here, and it's 1970 to 2000, I did cherry pick this, full disclosure, because I know the metrics. The S&P 500 averaged over 14% for those 30 years. So because I had this uncanny ability to know this information prior to it ever happening, I'm going to tell you to take 10% distribution on your retirement account before taxes, and that's a 10% distribution. So much higher than I normally would say, and I would never say this to you, but for this example, I just think it sets the tone. And if I put this into my spreadsheet and we start at age 65 retirement and age 90, I'm bringing up a box, if you're listening, and the box basically tells me what the assets accumulated to. And it accumulated to $8 million, just over $8 million. You've been taking $100,000, no inflation, just $100,000 a year. That's a 25-year time span. And it actually, it's math, right? We're averaging 14%. We're only taking 10%. There's a 4% delta there. It goes higher. Okay. Now I'm actually going to put the returns that happened from 1970 to 2000 to get to this average and see what happens with the curve. By clicking a button, and actually I'm going to go backwards, people. I made a mistake. You didn't have $8 million. You had $5.2 million. My apologies. My solution was already in there. So you get the point. It accumulates. Then we're going to put in these adjusted returns. And what, if you're not watching, what you're seeing is the curve basically has a downward spiral. And 13 years into retirement, you're out of money. It's a pretty dramatic curve. And the reason for this is there's 3 years within the first 10 years that there are negative returns in the market. And we're talking about the S&P 500 specifically. So there's this pressure that, oh my God, I'm told by a lot of marketing that this is my solution. I have other podcasts on this. I encourage you to go find it. There's Climbing the Mountain. There's the default retirement strategy, one of my favorites. And the default retirement strategy says, hey, just have accounts, pull money from them, and you're going to be all good. Well, you gotta become friendly with market volatility, because this is what the problem is. And when we actually put actual rates of return, this is what happens. Okay. This is not what you wanted to happen. Now you know why I would never tell you to take 10%, because this is what's going to happen. I had to tell you to take 4%. But if I could get you to take 10% and there's a way for me to actually make that work, wouldn't that be really interesting? Wouldn't that be a greater retirement? Well, I've got more money. One of our key concepts. More retirement income, less risk, all that stuff. If you haven't heard those, you'll hear it again. Don't worry. So this is just one minor strategy, one component that's in the back of my brain that I'm going to be thinking about when I work on a person's plan. But if I cannot take the distribution the year after a negative market return and I have another source of funds to pull from for my distribution, would that help? And I'm going to say yes. And what I'm going to show on the screen here is I know the 3 years that were down years, and in the year after each of those down years, so I don't have to forecast this. I don't have to use that forecasting knowledge that I had for the 30-year S&P return. I just have to know after a negative year, I don't take a distribution. I let the investment portfolio have a breather, because guess what? If I'm taking money out and the market's down, that's a double whammy. That's even more pressure on the portfolio, right? And this is what everybody tells you should do. And these are the risks that you have to absorb. They don't tell you that part. They don't tell you the part that you have to absorb market volatility and distribution risk. The two key that you've just self-insured your retirement. Okay. Again, other podcasts on this, please go dig in. It's one of my favorite subjects. So after clicking off these, I basically said, okay, we're not going to have $100,000 coming out. I basically added 100 back into the portfolio that the years that it was down. If you're looking at the curve, and I know people are listening, the curve actually goes sideways. It doesn't crash out into the 13th year when you have no money. It actually stays around $1 million for about the 25-year time frame. If I click on the same age 90 data point, we still have $1.3 million. So your original principal is there. You made a little bit of money in this time frame, and you've got to enjoy that 10% distribution rate. This is not an argument to tell you that we want you to take 10% distribution rates. Let me get this really clear, okay? This is just to say, how do I now take market volatility and how can I manage that, right? Because remember I said, there's some things we can control and some things we can't. Obviously, market volatility is going to happen. But how is my plan structured that I can navigate these waters and feel safer about what my outcome is going to be or make my outcome more predictable? You've heard me say that a number of times. And by the way, within this Wealth Curve software, I did cherry pick 1970 to 2000 because I know the data points really, it just works well for the example. This is all about concept. We don't know what the future market returns are going to be. And by the way, use the strategy in 2020. Funny thing, we talked about it on the intra-year chart. Market was down 32%. I had a couple of clients taking some income from different places. I said, stop the income draw off the investment accounts. We had other solutions where they could pull money from. We pulled money from them. And guess what? I think we said the market ended up positive 16%. Hey, we would put more pressure on by taking that distribution out. So there's a perfect real life example that this worked. So I hope this was helpful. This is just, again, I don't want to beat a dead horse here. This is just one type of concept that we bring into the planning process to get people thinking differently. And how do I structure my plan to have more options and flexibility? Remember, this is your money, your plan, you stay in control. I just put you through investment counseling. We've heard about marriage counseling. This was investment counseling. We now have a relationship. Our relationship with market volatility is better because I better understand it. And we're going to have a way for you to have potentially more success, right? We're going to do different things in the plan. So welcome to investment counseling. You and market volatility have now become friends because you're getting the joke, all right? So with that, we're going to keep going in 2024, keep going to the core concepts here. If any of this is resonating with you and you'd like to have more information, or even if you have never done the risk profiling concept that I talked about earlier, that, you know, anybody ever give you a score from 0 to 100 and look at your current portfolios? You know, if that's something that's intriguing, I encourage everybody to call the office, 1-800-797-1000. You can speak to Mike or Ann. They'll love to get you on a quick Wealth Curve conversation. It's a very quick 30-40 minute conversation, no obligation. You get to know me a little bit better. I get to know you a little bit better. I'll discuss our process, how it works, really get to know you, ask you a bunch of questions. Or you go to our website, www.smallwoodwealth.com. There's a ton of resources on the media page. There's more podcasts by my partner, John. There's podcasts by me, the audio ones. Visit the YouTube channel, Jumping the Wealth Curve. You'll see I'm your curve coach. And if you're new to the podcast, thanks for jumping onto the curve. If you're one of my loyal Curve Jumping Nation followers, I appreciate you. I totally don't forget to like and subscribe to all this stuff. It just means I know people are looking at it. Till next time, be well. Appreciate y'all.
Have a retirement or financial planning question for Ed? Connect now at smallwoodwealth.com. And while you're at it, click that subscribe button.
Jumping the Wealth Curve is brought to you by Edward Bau, an investment advisor representative of Smallwood Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. Strategies mentioned may not be suitable for everyone, and the information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Information has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable. Their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action, as information and or opinions are subject to change without notice. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Smallwood Wealth Management provides content that is true and accurate as of the date of publishing. However, we give no assurance or warranty regarding the accuracy, timeliness, or applicability of the content. We assume no responsibility for information contained on this website or podcast and disclaim all liability in respect to all information, including but not limited to any liability for errors in accuracy, omissions, misleading, or defamatory statements.